Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is powered by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time brought to you by Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's go to the columnist, the Oregonian, our good buddy, Bill Orme, who once did this on our show. And we love him for it. Bill, good morning to you. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Bill Orme. Does Oregon have a third quarter problem, Bill?
They have a third quarter trend, Dan Lanning would say. It's interesting. I mean, the Ducks have only scored twice in the third quarter in their six Big Ten games, a couple of field goals. They got one against Michigan. And it's interesting because it hasn't been a problem in the sense that it hasn't come back to bite them. But it's one of those things where does the ultimate end, you know, negate the means or the process? And if you watched on Saturday, the Ducks were in control of that game for basically all 60 minutes. But Michigan had a window to get back in that game. And obviously they got down to the five or the 10, you know, got stopped on fourth down on that, you know, abysmal trick play. But they had a chance to cut it to a one score game with 9 minutes left. And if you get that close and it gets that nip and tuck, I mean, being unable to finish, you know, in the red zone in the third quarter does become a problem. So it's something to monitor, if nothing else.
It's about the answer you expected from Lanning when you wrapped up the press conference asking about it again.
You know, I just enjoy taking an opportunity to get Dan on the record with certain things and to see if he will if he'll bite. But yes, that was about the answer, because I'm sure, I don't know if you played it for your listeners here this morning, but you know, he said it's not a problem. We won 38-17, and that is the sort of answer that a football coach should give, but I do not think is actually true. And maybe I'm only scoring an academic point here, but it is. I think the more true response is, it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Well, I think that's what my takeaway. I'm not shocked by his answer, but it is interesting. Like, it's not a problem, but it's something we'll evaluate. It's like, are you kind of saying it's a problem, but you're not saying it's a problem?
Right.
It's an interesting answer there.
It's more like, you know, Bill, I don't really believe in labels.
Yeah, exactly. Put a label on this thing. Come on. Keep this loosey-goosey. What did you make of the – had you ever been to the Big House before? What did you make of it if you hadn't, and what was the atmosphere like?
Very cool, guys. Yeah. I'd never been, never been to Ann Arbor. It's so funny, man. Like, I covered the NBA for 10 years, and so I flew in and out of the Detroit airport every year for 10 years, you know, always in January or February. And for most of those years, I had to rent a car and pump it out to Auburn Hills, which is not, not a particularly scenic drive or a particularly scenic part of the Detroit metro area. And really just never had any particular fondness for those trips to Detroit in the dead of winter. And then all of a sudden you discover Ann Arbor, which is, you know, 25 miles from the Detroit airport in a different direction. You're like, this place is really cool. You know, very, obviously super vibrant college town, great atmosphere, both around town and then obviously in the stadium. It was loud. It was, you know, it was just, you know, obviously an incredible tailgate scene. Those people line up at 7 a.m. to get in there. Tons of cornhole boards. I mean, I think one thing, you know, almost anywhere you go, there's never enough cornhole. And I thought Michigan actually met the moment in terms of that particular standard. So just very cool, you know, to be there and to see, you know, 110,000 people there, you know, watching a football game, you know, largest stadium in the country. And it's interesting when you're in it because it sits so low in the ground. You walk up to it. It doesn't look that big from the outside. It's not like I've been to LSU or I think Camp Randall has a little bit of this too. I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks. But it just isn't as imposing from the outside because it goes so low. But you get in, and I think that kind of also contributes to some of the sound there too. So just a really, really neat spot. But I will say, you know, Oregon took a lot of the emotion out of it early with that first drive, and then especially, you know, when, yeah, I mean, my goodness, I mean, that catch that Evan Stewart made in the back of the end zone that was ultimately negated, you know, that place was just stunned with that play. I mean, that was as good of a catch as I've ever seen. Probably, certainly the best catch I've ever seen live, but as good of a catch as I've ever seen anywhere.
How big a deal is the Tez Johnson injury to you, or is this conference in general we're learning with Oregon and how good they are bad enough where Oregon can get by without Tez Johnson for a while?
I think yes to both. I think it's, you know, I think Oregon is going to be fine. They have the depth to get through at receiver to get through the rest of the regular season schedule. You know, the next three opponents really should not give the Ducks a huge amount of trouble, looking at Maryland, Wisconsin, and then Washington going into the Big Ten championship game. But Tez Johnson is a just massive part of what they do, both scheme-wise and culture-wise. And I spent a little time getting to know Tez before his first year here because of his relationship with Bo Nix and his kind of incredible backstory, you know, which I wrote in the Oregonian at the time. And what you realize is, like, this is a dude who grew up, you know, dreaming of going to Oregon from the time he was 5 years old, had an opportunity, you know, had doors open, you know, had a great couple of years at Troy. And now he's, you know, he's turned into their leading receiver. I think you would say that, you know, he's, you know, arguably the heart of their offense. He's certainly one of their most exciting offensive players. He may not be the NFL, you know, prototypical receiver that you have in like Trayshon Holden or Evan Stewart, but, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is certainly, you know, on the radar of the Biletnikoff Award. You know, he's having a great year, and it's, I think, just heartbreaking to see him go out. And, you know, you don't know with an injury like what he might have, you know, how long he'll be out. Is it possible he could be back by January for a playoff? It really is. That's certainly in play. But the idea that he, you know, is going to miss the rest of, potentially, because we don't know, but that he could miss these final three games, he could miss a Big Ten championship game, potentially more, is just really awful to watch. I mean, this is a guy who's really invested into what's happening at Oregon. You know, it genuinely means something to him to be there. And so that really hurt me to see him leave the game. I hope that we get to see him in an Oregon uniform again.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. We're talking with Bill Oram, columnist for the Oregonian, at Bill Oram on Twitter. We'll give him a follow. He's in Ann Arbor, obviously covering the game, and we love catching up with him. I want to get to your AP Top 25 poll, Bill. So I don't know if you know this, but there's a Reddit college football page that puts out the voting record of everybody who has an AP Top 25 vote. So two-parter for you. One, when did this start? Have you always had a vote? When did you get your vote? How long has that been going on? On that, when do you have to get your vote in? And then lastly, where is South Carolina and why are they not ranked?
Well, South Carolina hasn't been very good most of the year, okay. And they had a big win at home. I think the surprise that the students showed with the fact they actually won that game, rushing the field, tells you kind of what the expectations are in at South Carolina at this exact moment. But a very cool moment for Shane Beamer. It was cool to see his dad on the sideline. To answer the questions that actually have interesting answers, I would say, you know, so I got a poll this year, a vote in the poll this year for the first time. Had never done it. It's not a tiny amount of work. It's not a huge obligation, but I mean, you do need to really pay attention and have a feel for what's happening around the country, which has been new for me because I've always had the luxury of really being focused in on, you know, the teams I cover and the conference that they're in. You know, so that has meant, you know, basically my entire life, you know, as a sports fan, viewer, columnist, you know, I've been locked in on the Pac-12 and those 12 schools and then sort of kind of the environment they're in. Now it's like, not only is Oregon in a totally new conference, you know, Oregon State, you know, obviously in their situation, but Big 12, ACC, my like daily diet, or excuse me, my weekend diet of college football has totally expanded. And, you know, it used to be that like I'd be watching, you know, I might be watching, you know, whatever the game of the week is, or, you know, the late game on a Friday night or something. And my wife would come out and she'd be like, "Do you have to watch this for work?" And I would always say, you know, "I don't have to, but, you know, it's kind of my job to just sort of know what's going on." Yeah. Now she comes out and says, "Do you have to be watching this, you know, this Tulane game for work?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, I
yes.
do." And I cannot budge. I cannot budge from sitting in front of this TV right now. To answer your question, got to get it done Saturday night or early Sunday morning. And
do you like email it to somebody? Is there like a paper format? Like, how does the fill out go?
There's a secret online portal. You know that, or actually, you know what? I'm gonna take that back. I need to tell you guys the truth.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people always talk about like a website and a portal. That's not true. The reality is that these 102, 105 voters, we all convene. We wear masks.
Yes.
We carry torches into a cave.
Kinky.
And we sit around and we vote by yays and nays.
Boy, I struggled to get there.
I was wondering where we're going on that one.
Is a goat sacrificed in this cave? Is there a sacrifice of a
Bill,
goat?
How do we get dirt into this cult? Because I saw your podcast co-host, Brenna Green, is the other local voter.
Yeah, what are we doing here? I thought we got to be writers. Can a radio
TV
host
person.
Get a vote? Come
dirt,
on.
Dirt is on the pregame coverage out here on the Duck affiliate. How does Dirt sign up to be in the kinky cult that you guys are in?
Well, I would like to be very clear that this has been an Oregonian sports podcast takeover of the West Coast AP Top 25 vote.
Okay.
So, I mean, it seems like that is the secret, is to be a co-host of the Oregonian sports podcast. So, Dirt, if you want to join us, you know, that might get you on the right. That might get the attention of the right people back in New York.
I'll put a hood on and sacrifice a goat. I'll do what I need to do, Orin.
I think we put Crepia, Clark, and Dirt in a cage match, and
whoever
comes out alive
gets the AP vote.
Gets the next vote locally.
I think I'm on board with this.
Are we capturing the flag tonight, Bill? Are you going to watch Cooper Flag destroy Maine? Like, how are you going to follow college hoops a little bit here, since the Blazers suck and they're trying to get a top pick?
The Blazers suck. The Blazers have won two games. They almost had a 26-point comeback against the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant the other night.
Oh, we're scared, aren't we?
I am in on the Blazers being fun bad over the course of this season, like watchably bad. I am invested in that being the case. In terms of watching the game for Flag tonight, absolutely, but not for Cooper Flag. I'm in on the twin brother Ace Flag. Because we know that the Blazers inevitably endure, you know, draft lottery and draft night heartbreak annually. It's part of the deal. So I want them, and when June comes around, I want them to draft Ace Flag from Maine, Cooper Flag's twin brother, so that the Blazers can hang their hat on, we draft the worst twin brother of legitimate NBA players.
By the way,
we have
I didn't even
Murray
know he had a brother to be.
Yeah,
I had no clue.
Yeah,
I didn't know any of this.
There's a knipple on Duke, Bill. There's a knipple on Bill. Keep an eye on that guy on Duke. Knipple on
we're
Duke.
All,
watch
I
we're
spent
all
at least spell. 17 seconds workshopping this joke before coming on the show today.
That was pretty well done. I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed right now. Bill Orem, he's a columnist at The Oregonian. He's one of our favorites. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Bill Orem. Thanks as always for the time, Bill. I can't wait to join you in the cave with the hood on and get my top 25 vote in. And let's do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
There you go.
Bill said,
he's trying to think of where to go on that
we
story.
We need to get the and the laughter there. We got to drop on the laugh, and then that on the story was.
I didn't know Cooper Flagg had a twin brother that plays at Maine. I had no clue. Did you know that, Swag?
That I did not.
Not
know.
Even you knew that. If
no.
you didn't know that,
Maine's
that's an
not
obscure
on the schedule
thing.
This year.
I didn't know it until I read about that he was facing his brother who was on Maine.
Oh, they're playing Maine today.
Tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Maine at Duke.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need a top 25 vote, too. Come on, what are we doing?
Well, I'm curious how she got it, because if there's a way to apply, you should be applying.
And Orem, look, I love Bill Orem. South Carolina should probably be ranked in the top. What?
The Who's Vanderbilt the team he has ranked.
So his back end of the top 25, you can see his whole top 25 here. His last five teams, he's got Colorado,
okay,
Tulane, Vanderbilt, Louisville, Kansas State. Louisville is like what? Because they blew out Clemson? Then if they're going to give credit for that, shouldn't we give South Carolina credit for blowing out A&M, being a top 10 team? Can we stop with the Vanderbilt stuff too? Like they lost to Georgia State.
Yeah, but they beat Auburn.
Auburn's terrible. Cal beat Auburn.
Pavia.
Vanderbilt has no business being in the top.
Bill clearly has SEC bias.
He
here.
Definitely does.
No, then again, no, he doesn't because he hates South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Tulane, I haven't seen much of Tulane.
I'd
I'll
love
take
to
your
see this weird culty kinky thing they do in a cave as voters.
I would like to see that too.
I think he wanted to say something dark.
He definitely did.
But he's like, wait, I'm on the radio. I
should
can't
probably
say that.
Let's draw it back in a little bit, Bill. Reel it in, Bill. Reel it in. All right, let's talk a little hoop, shall we?
Yeah.
Are we capturing the flag tonight? The Blazers play two games this weekend. I think you and I might have the same conclusion, but we'll talk a little bit about it next on The Fam.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how about this, folks? If you text the word HAWKS, H-A-W-K-S, HAWKS, to 503-864-6326, you will be entered for a chance to win a four-pack of ticket vouchers to the Portland Winter Hawks. That's four tickets. Go see some hockey. They got off the schneid this weekend with a nice win Saturday in Seattle. Nice to get the offense going a little bit.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's do that hockey, baby. Right now, text HAWKS to 503-864-6326, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a four-pack of ticket vouchers to a Portland Winter Hawks game. The Blazers play two games this weekend.
Friday and Saturday.
Saturday. Friday night counts as the weekend, is it not? Am I wrong on that?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. So I was watching very closely on Friday because I ended up gambling heavily on Oklahoma City minus 11. And if you could tell by my text I sent you guys at halftime, I was not too pleased with the first half effort from the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, thankfully,
you were in a panic.
Put you at ease.
I was in a panic. You guys both were like, calm down. And I was like, I know they're going to lose, but can we not make every shot we take in like a 5-minute stretch?
That was lightning in a bottle.
Caught it at the end of the first half.
60% from three in the second quarter or something.
So I ended up watching the entire game. Now, Saturday, a little different. I didn't flip over mainly until the second half, but they dropped a pair. They fall to 2-5. Mm-hmm. How are we feeling about the weekend action of the Portland Trailblazers?
I agree with a large portion of people, and I also disagree with myself on this, so it's buckle up.
Are you going to argue with yourself right now? Are we in the shower?
I have been, yeah.
Are you taking a shower right now?
Well, I do agree that it'd be nice to watch, to see them be watchable and lose. I also think if you're going to be watchable and exciting and be flirting, you're going to cost yourself games. So like
they almost came back from down 20 to beat the Suns on Saturday night.
That was more realistic a win than I thought the Thunder game was. Yeah. I knew the Thunder were going to
Thunder
blow
went
them
on a
out.
Run in the third quarter and that game
but
was over.
But that's more about the Suns. That's their
This is the whole point though. Like you're going to find ways to like your starting lineup is not you're going to find your way into games.
Well,
but the comeback wasn't the starting lineup. It was Delano Banton and Tamani Kamara and
the Suns can be stupid. They were close in the first half of that game. One leg, they were trailing by 30 at halftime. That was a third quarter blowout. They tend to just be really bad.
I think Portland led in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had the lead at halftime.
Well, the third quarter for them, much like Oregon's offense, it disappears.
Yes, it does.
And so they're losing these games because of their third quarters. If I'm watching this team, I don't want it to be so bad that it becomes unwatchable. But again, you are flirting with things until you trade certain players. Look, they lost both games. They accomplished the goal. Scoot, not so much in these last two as it was the previous games. Yeah. Here's my other takeaway. I'm just done with the Anfernee Simons stuff. He's an inefficient basketball player who doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for them. And you can certainly argue their coach doesn't put him in good spots. And I won't disagree with it. Hey, go set a screen. That's your offense. The dude is averaging 18 points on 17 shots, or 19 points if you want to round up, on 17 shots.
Took 25 on Saturday for 20 points.
There's a tweet of two girls where a girl says, "Girl, this is me and this is you." And somebody says, "These girls are having a mid-off." That's the hero Anfernee Simons conversation to me at this point. $200 million players that I don't think are particularly amazing. You can argue till the cows come home that Ant, in a better situation, would thrive. I don't know how much evidence I have of that right now. So I kind of just want that gone. I want to see Scoot operating in the starting lineup, but that's not going to happen until they trade him, if they trade him. Other than that, like, yeah, they've been somewhat entertaining, and then they lose games. I'm also seeing on my timeline people love this Blazer team. And yeah. So sometimes my little dirt, my inner dirt comes to like, hey, you shut up.
You shut your mouth.
But, yeah. You know, they've at least lost the game.
It's funny that you had that takeaway. I sat down and, you know, kind of for me early in the Blazer season, there's been something else going on or a football game or I'm trying to figure out my damn antenna and how do I get the chance. Like, it's been a hurdle. Friday night. No hurdle for me. Nothing else on TV. I wasn't too interested in any of the random college games. It's like, all right, let's sit
Boise
down.
Boise State was up 47 points.
I'm not doing it, right? So this is my, all right, let's sit down and I'm going to dive into this entire game. And I turned it on at the start and I'm watching and I found myself incredibly, albeit the first half was their best half of basketball in that game, incredibly disinterested in the first quarter. Because I just don't care to watch Jerami Grant, Anfernee Simons, or DeAndre Ayton play basketball. And I know maybe I'm on an island. I know you're there on Ant right now. That does nothing. When Kamara takes a shot, no, I get excited. I'm like, hey, yeah. That I can see that. He's a part of the future, and I like that. When Scoot comes in, or Klingon comes in, or any of the other young guys, when Sharp is back in the starting lineup, genuinely excited to watch them play. And I know they're going to be ugly at times. Scoot's going to have some bad games. That's okay. We're going to grade it on a full sample size of a year, not great game, bad game, great game, bad game. I just, as a fan, and I know, again, maybe I'm on an island, when DeAndre Ayton, Jerami Grant, and Anfernee Simons are in the game, I don't care. I don't care about how they play. I don't care about how they look.
Well,
I don't care about it.
It feels like a hollow thing care about. It's like, well, Ant's cooking. It's like, yeah, but
when are we going to trade him? He's going to be gone eventually. Yeah, they're all going to get traded eventually. So it's not a part of the long-term plan. And that's my only hang up. I might start turning games on. Like, all right, the game starts at 7. I'll turn it on with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Tell me when Scoot's in the game and he's playing with Kamara, who, by the way, has been awesome this year.
They did a good piece, Habistro and Lamar. And I know Lamar doesn't want to say this, but in my mind, I heard them say that Tamani Kamara might be Jimmy Butler, and that made me super happy. Look,
he's having an awesome year this year.
Going into Phoenix, he was shooting 50% from three.
He still is out of the game.
Touche. He is, you know, Scoot's had a lot of good ups.
Some bad moments.
He's
going to happen.
He's coming back down to earth. Tumani has been the story of the young guys.
Yeah.
Klingon's been great. Klingon's only playing like 12 to 13 minutes a game.
Very small sample size.
So until Klingon gets into shape enough to play 26, 27 minutes, and I'm hoping that's coming up soon, like at some point.
We're going to have Robert Williams back potentially tonight. What does that do to the rotation? Now I get another vet playing minutes over what are we doing?
I will be on an island on this if that's what it takes. I'm so against him playing at all. And I know he wants to play. Bobby Marks had a thing like, and you know, teams are going to be interested to see how he looks. Like, if it was my decision, I'd say I don't want to see it because he can play one game and all of that goes out the window.
Ruptures his knee, boom.
Dude, I mean, he's just hits his history. I hate to say that, and I know he wants to play, and they're going to play him. So my opinion is a moot one here. I'm not interested in it. I'd love to see him sit and then watch him get traded. I don't know how it changes the rotation much. Because I don't think he's going to play a whole lot anyway.
Be a small number of minutes,
but
sure.
D.A., yeah, man, I'm ready for the Klingon show, and until he gets there, I don't think they're going to move D.A.
Yeah.
Jeremy's interesting because he's made no indications that he wants to move, where at least Ant has said, I want to be on a winner. That's not going to happen. And so until I guess we see Ant make a demand, they're not moving him. But I'm with you. I get what you're saying, but I'm still watching all the games.
I mean, I'm still going to watch. I just, there's a part of me that, like, when they're in, when that's the lineup, when I have Ayton on the floor, Grant on the floor, Simon's on the floor, maybe you throw a Robert Williams if he's back. Like, that's the time of the game where I'm scrolling my phone. Like, I'm just paying attention to other things.
I totally get it, but for me, it's not about caring about what Anthony Simons does because I'm so done with it. We just need to be honest about what he is. D.A.
He's an average player, yeah.
You know, he's a little above average, but he's not what he was billed as a young guy. I'm still interested in seeing, like, how does Tumani play off of him? Like, those are the things that I'm watching, and I understand why a lot of people would be scrolling and kind of just keeping it on in the background. What is Tumani? Is Tumani finding the spots to free himself up when Anthony Simons drives or Jeremy Grant drives to kick? And so far, I've been pretty pleased with what I've seen with Tumani Kamara. He's looked good defensively.
Yeah.
His big problem is that he needs to stop committing so many fouls quickly. He commits two fouls in like a minute.
You got to take him out
of
the
lineup. And he has to go to the bench for a while. But, like, I've been largely pleased with what we've seen from him. Again, Scoot's had some really good positives cling in when he's playing. Murray's been good defensively for them. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm still finding ways to be interested in it.
That's totally fair. I think the other part of that, too, is when Sharp comes back, Kamara's likely going to move to the bench. So we got bench Kamara, because I'm imagining you're not taking Avdi out of the starting lineup. You're not going to sit Grant. So Sharp's going to probably be in the starting lineup. So now one of your promising young players is also coming off the bench with your other promising young players.
Avdi,
not getting the number of minutes that they should get. It's a bigger issue for me. They did exactly what they needed to do this weekend. They lost both games.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where they go from here. They are in New Orleans tonight, so you get
an earlier... They should win that game.
Three and five.
Is not good.
Should have beat them the two times they were in Portland, man.
They're super banged up. Obvious three-point shooting. I continue to monitor that. Not been good.
Not good. Let's get to a couple of NFL things that we missed earlier on in the show. Didn't get to a ton of NFL football in the first hour. We'll dive into that, answer some poll questions to wrap up. All right, we didn't even talk about today which interaction was more justifiable. Is that a word, right? That works.
Justifiable? Yeah, that's a word.
Joel Embiid shoving a columnist in the locker room or Jason Kelce spiking a phone through the core of the earth?
Does there need to be a winner or can they both be justifiable?
I think they both are. I think they both work.
We are living in a real weird time, and we all know that. We've heard it a million times. But we're living in a weird time now because the scummy people are the ones being rewarded.
Yes.
The guy at a Yankee game trying to rip a glove off of a player's hand and maybe hurt his wrist
becomes a hero. Yeah.
And I don't know when, like, bro culture's always existed, but, like, when did it cross over into, like, yeah, I'm a piece of crap, and, like, everybody's like, yeah, bro, let's be a piece of crap.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be one of the as the next collective bargaining agreements start coming up in the leagues, I think this is going to be a larger piece of it from the union's perspective. I think the money's so big now that they'll crunch the numbers and they'll negotiate down to, but if the big TV, national TV and international TV contracts keep going up.
Are you talking about the NBA?
I'm talking about all the leagues.
Well, that was a fan with Kelce and he's retired.
Well, I understand that, but the Embiid piece and other stuff, it's all the social media stuff. There's going to be a bigger issue for players.
Well, they already are flirting with no locker room access in the NBA now as is, which isn't great.
I see both sides of it,
too. You cannot write that piece.
Yeah.
You cannot put in that piece what that writer put in that piece.
If you don't know what happened, so here is the Embiid. He shoved a reporter after a game. Here is why. The columnist wrote this in an article, and I quote, "Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as the major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a 76er. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up to work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite now in his 11th season. He consistently has been in poor condition. This poor condition apparently seems to have delayed the debut of his season, yada, yada, yada." So he uses his son and his dead brother in a thing saying you're not leaving a legacy. And Embiid had a comment, I think the night before, to reporters of like, "I've done way too much for this city. Yeah. For you guys to be attacking me like this."
What's that got a negative reaction to him? And, you know, kind of rightfully so. Like, you haven't won a second round series in a city that cares passionately, but
I would argue too, like, if we're being fair, how much of that is on him? How much of that is on Ben Simmons not remembering how to shoot a basketball in the playoffs, or
but
them going
after
operates. I know that's not how we operate, but let's be rational here. I don't think he's been the reason they're not winning in the playoffs. Him being banged up definitely hurts them, but he's played through a lot of injuries, so that's why he shoved the reporter, and then this is why Jason Kelce did what he did.
Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
So if you, I mean, you can't hear it there. If you couldn't make sense of it, some guy was walking behind him, calling his brother Travis a homophobic slur for dating
A woman.
For dating a woman, which
that was weird.
Interesting move there. Yeah. Following behind him, filming it, screaming it, like essentially 4 feet behind him.
Yeah.
And there was honestly a part of me. I wish Kelce would have turned around. There would have been a lawsuit that came from
and
it.
He would have had to pay.
I wish that he, instead of slamming the phone, I wish that guy had to face actual real world consequences, not a broken phone. This idea that you can say this stuff to people in public and not expect somebody to turn around and do, I wish he would have pounded him into a coma for the next month.
It certainly was one that it felt like universally everybody goes, yeah.
Like, and who does that? Why do you do that?
And he kept the phone. Now, look, I'm certainly not he did the thing that I'm not even mad that he did it. But I do think it's also fair to point out the profile, the celebrity, all of this has changed in a way that I don't even think he's probably figuring that out now today. And yesterday, he was at the Penn State game. It's unfortunate, but he now has to be surrounded by security. I'm not sure he can keep doing this every man hang out and tailgate and be cool with people thing.
He's just carrying around a case of beer to tailgate, trying to have fun at Penn State.
And you've got too many idiots that want the fame and the clout, and they want to be on the internet. That guy is bragging that his phone was broken by Jason Kelce today. And unfortunately, he's not sitting there with a busted lip saying,
"No,
I learned a real lesson today." And that's kind of the point, is like, in a way, we have not course corrected this. We're allowing the internet and views and clicks to be what drives, instead of just being decent and having, like, you know, maturity happen. You get this kind of behavior. I would also argue, I don't think ESPN's going to do anything to him because, again, everybody in the world thinks he's in the right here.
Yeah, that was trending this weekend. Please don't punish him, ESPN.
If he could just not have turned around, and look, it's easier said than done, but if he could have just not turned around and then said, oh, now who's the, and said the slur,
yeah,
that's the only nitpick. And it sucks because this dude seems like a really good dude by all accounts.
Yeah.
Wanted nothing negative to do with anybody. And then this person comes up and is jackass. He is very lucky he was not. I just don't understand the whole your brother's this because he's.
I mean, it's just stupid. It's a guy
it,
saying nonsense.
It doesn't
make
any sense. Yeah. And so, like, he's very lucky he didn't get a busted lip.
Yeah, I just, there used to be a time when you wouldn't say that to somebody's face because you knew what the consequences would be. And if you did, there weren't phones out there to film every action that you were doing. And if he said that to an athlete, say, in 1984, the athlete would have put that guy in the hospital.
I would argue 10 years ago,
and
he
we probably wouldn't
that,
even have heard of it. We'd be like, oh, there was a blip on the radar. But
had
this,
that,
if you do it, there's film everywhere.
Barkley back in the day?
Yes. Imagine when Charlie walking through an airport and some fan yells at him, how would Barkley would have handled that in 1987? Right? Like, we know how the outcome would have gone. And rightfully so, because if you yell somebody something at somebody in public, you have to face the consequences of your actions. There need to be consequences for actions. And it just feels like now, because of the social media world that we live in, there are no consequences. You can say and do whatever you want. And in public, if this guy would have gotten his ass beat, he probably could have filed a lawsuit and won some money and would have turned into a victim by some for some people. It's just ridiculous, man. So it was an interesting weekend for those kind of interactions. Philadelphia athletes going at people. And I think we defend Jason Kelce. I wish he would have punched him in the face. That was my only takeaway.
Well, and Joel Embiid, that writer's lucky. A push was all that happened. I just, like, you want to criticize.
Go by all
and
means criticize.
I think Embiid said this. I think Shams Charania did a hit and basically was like, he said, you want to criticize me for my play? Fair. What are we doing, including my son and my dead brother?
Yeah, how about we not do that in a column?
Not a good idea. I thought that was a really bad look for that writer.
I didn't get to my NFL notes there. We'll save those for tomorrow, like the Colts benching their rookie quarterback to win and then losing. That was kind of funny.
NFL Factoid Tuesday. I've got some fun stats to throw at you guys.
I enjoyed that.
And I think you're going to enjoy some
of them. Let's put the 40-year-old in. He's going to save our season.
And then the 40-year-old wasn't at fault, according to the coach. He's still the quarterback.
Okay. Threw a couple of picks. Couldn't move very well.
I kept thinking, couldn't Anthony Richardson score 10 points against Minnesota?
I think he could. Could have thrown a long pass. Could have done that. Let's wrap it up. We got a whole bunch of poll questions. We'll get you set for your Monday night, including are you ready for the madness next on the Fam. All right. Before we find out if you're ready for the madness, let's answer some poll questions, shall we? If you had to bet on it right now, who would win the Heisman Trophy? Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Dylan Gabriel, or Cam Ward? Not who you would vote for. If you had to bet on it, what's the best bet right now to win the Heisman Trophy? Who would you go with?
Well, if Hunter stays healthy, I think it's going to be Hunter because of the both sides thing.
Well, does Colorado's record matter, you think, for his Heisman candidacy?
Well, if they get to the Big 12 title game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if they don't, like if they lose this weekend, maybe they're an 8-4 team.
8-4, 9-3, I think he still gets maybe the leader. But if I had to bet, I think it's Cam Ward.
Yeah.
His Cam Ward's the lowest vote getter on this poll question.
Well, I think there's a lot of Duck fans.
Yeah. Gabriel did not win.
No, Ashton I know, Jenty but I think did. He was second.
He was second. Yeah,
I think the two leaders in the clubhouse got the two least amount of votes of that poll question.
Jenty had another game where it was like really good, but to his standard that he set earlier this year, he set such an impossible standard to live up to almost.
Well, what do you, 180?
I think it was 180.
San Diego State literally in that game was basically like, beat us with the pass, please. And they were. They were thumping them. And then Jenty got his numbers.
Yeah, he had 31 carries for 149 yards and two touchdowns.
I love Ashton Jeanty. I would actually have zero problems with him winning it. I think we need to be honest about this. He's not winning the award.
Nope. He needed to have a record-breaking season. Yeah. And while it's incredibly good, it's not going to be quite on that pace. Who had the worst weekend of these four teams? Penn State, Clemson, USC, Nebraska. USC ran away with it. Probably a little biased voting.
I don't
get
that at all.
I voted for Clemson. It's Clemson. 42% said USC. 23% said Clemson. 21% said Penn State. Only 13% given respect to Nebraska and how terrible their weekend was, which their fan base is not happy right now.
I would have right in Georgia. Their quarterback sucks.
Yeah, he does. Which side are you on, spring forward or fall back? Right now we have a 58-42 split for spring forward leading. People not wanting to fall back.
Yeah, I want to read this real quick to you because we had somebody respond to that and said, who the hell wants to spend their mornings in darkness until 8:30? Fall back and never look back. It'll stay light out till 9 in the summer. Plus, it's dangerous for kids in the school.
If you don't spring forward.
Yeah, I think he's confused. He's mixing these two.
So if you don't spring forward, like what time does the sun set in like peak late July, early August?
9:30.
Almost at 10 o'clock.
With daylight savings time, yes.
So I guess by that notion, and there would be some light out still until 9 o'clock, but the sun would start to go down at 8:15, 8:30.
It felt like that tweet was a combo of both answers, so I couldn't quite tell.
Can't have them both. But 58% right now saying spring forward. Are you concerned about Oregon's third quarter woes? No touchdowns and big 10 play in the third quarter. Right now, 60% of you are saying no. You are not concerned. 40% are saying yes.
This is not a concern until it's a concern. Like, until you're in a game and you only have a four-point lead, and then the third quarter happens, and you get skunked 10-0, and now you trail. Then it becomes a concern for people.
Yeah, the funny thing is, in their biggest win of the year, they did it. They were terrible in the third quarter against Ohio State, and they still found a way to win the game. So that's the hard part I have saying, it's a big issue. They've overcome it. It's a thing, not a major concern for me. Are we ready for the madness?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm ready.
Here's the situation.
College basketball begins today.
It does. We got an 8:30 game between Gonzaga and Baylor on the Deuce.
Not going to be awake watching that.
You're not going to be awake at 8:30.
What time do my Ducks play today?
7:30.
Oh, God. What are we doing?
It's over!
You're not going to watch 8:30?
No. That's
not the whole game.
I'm going to be in bed. I don't care to watch Gonzaga at 8:30.
Really?
Is Baylor good this year?
Baylor might be bad.
Number 6, Gonzaga. Okay. Number 8, Baylor. The only ranked matchup on opening night.
Yeah, it's a little too late for me. Why are we tipping off games at 8:30?
Capture the Flag is on the ACC Network at 4 o'clock.
Okay. That's on at the same time as the Blazer game, right? Blazer gets started at 4, too, in New Orleans?
No, 6:30.
Oh, yeah, 6:30? What? Do they not spring forward? Do they not fall back?
That's an 8:30 start time.
Ugh. That's gross.
By the way, Utah Tech at Oregon State at 7 o'clock on the ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus?
The International Ducks are on Big Ten Plus. You need Big Ten Plus.
Oh, well, then I'm not watching the game because I don't think I have Big Ten
Plus. So listen to it right here. Just put the radio next to your bed.
Yeah, fall asleep listening to Joey Mack.
Could be a massive, massive season for Shellstad.
Yeah. I agree.
He killed it in the Park Rose Pro-Am.
Is Cook healthy? Are we Mookie Cook?
Isn't he healthy?
Isn't he our good young guy that was banged up last year?
We're super healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Pilots on tonight.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday. Okay. You guys don't play today.
Well, there you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. After it and Sprague at 1080thefan on Twitter. We had Bill Oram on at 8 o'clock, columnist from the Oregonian. He was great. We'll tweet that out as soon as we're done.
And we didn't give enough time to it. R.I.P. to Quincy Jones.
Yes, we need to get to that tomorrow.
I mean, an iconic entertainment figure of all time.
Of all genres.
All
incredible
genres.
Artists. Yeah, we'll pay some homage to Quincy Jones tomorrow. That will do it for us. Hey, everybody, if you watch on YouTube, like the video before it closes down. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.